And here is the Writer's Almanac for Monday. It's the 22nd of November, 2010. It's the birthday of the graphic novelist Marjan Satrapi, born in Iran, 1969, wrote the graphic novel Persepolis, published in four parts, a memoir of her childhood during the Iranian Revolution, her teenage years in Europe. She struggled with having to wear a hijab and understanding why family friends became political prisoners, but she's also listening to punk rock and flirting with boys at burger joints. Persepolis was a New York Times bestseller, been translated into many languages. It's the birthday of the writer André Gide, born Paris, 1869, who said, "Art is a collaboration between God and the artist, and the less the artist does, the better." It's the birthday of the novelist George Eliot, who was born Mary Ann Evans near Nuneaton, England, 1819. Very serious little girl. When she was nine, an adult asked her if she was having a good time, and she said, "No, I am not. I don't like to play with children. I like to talk to grown-up people." It was an evangelical Christian family she grew up in. She had read The Pilgrim's Progress when she was just eight. The Vicar of Wakefield by Oliver Goldsmith belonged to prayer groups. She was a very serious, pious young person. And after her mother died, she moved back home to keep house for her father in Coventry. And there she became friends with a couple named Charles and Cara Bray, who were radical thinkers about religion and politics, and she began to question her own beliefs. Her father died. She moved to London, became an editor, a journalist, was introduced to a man named George Henry Lewis, and they fell in love, though he was already married, but he was in a sort of open relationship with his wife, and he and Mary Ann Evans lived together for 24 years until he died. She chose the pseudonym George Eliot so that she could set herself apart from her own complicated private life, but also because she wanted her novels to be taken seriously, and she wasn't sure they would be if she published as a woman. And she went on to write the novels that we know her for, The Mill on the Floss, Silas Marner, and Middlemarch. George Eliot, who said, "My only desire is to know the truth, my only fear to cling to error." Here's a poem for today by Lawrence Robb, entitled "After We Saw What There Was to See." After we saw what there was to see, we went off to buy souvenirs, and my father waited by the car and smoked. He didn't need a lot of things to remind him where he'd been. "Why do you want so much stuff?" he might have asked us. "Oh, Ed," I can hear my mother saying, as if that took care of it. After she died, I don't think he felt any reason to go back through all those postcards, not to mention the glossy booklets about the Singing Tower and the Alligator Farm, the painted ashtrays and lucite paperweights, everything we carried home and found a place for, then put away in boxes, then shoved far back in our closets. He'd always let my mother keep track of the past. And when she was gone, why should that change? Why did I want him to need what he'd never needed? I can see him leaning against our yellow Chrysler in some parking lot in Florida or Maine. It's a beautiful, cloudless day. He glances at his watch, lights another cigarette, looks up at the sky. After We Saw What There Was to See, a poem by Lawrence Robb from The History of Forgetting, published by Penguin Poets and used by permission here on the Writer's Almanac, supported by the Poetry Foundation, publisher of Poetry Magazine. Student and gift subscriptions are available at poetryfoundation.org. And by the all-new Chevrolet Volt, available soon in select markets. Details at chevyvolt.com. The all-new Chevrolet Volt. It's more car than electric. Produced by Kathy Roach and written by Betsy Allister. Be well, do good work, and keep in touch.